Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I have a special message for you today, and I'm in a special place to deliver it. I cannot wait to share some of the things that God has placed on my heart. It's going to be absolutely powerful. Before we step into the word of the Lord this morning, I want to share with you just a few updates on where we are in terms of a return to worship. As you know, we were looking to return on May 2nd, and we were not able to do that due to some unforeseen circumstances, but we're working feverishly towards a return. And when we do, we want to give you some guidelines. First and foremost, we want you to make sure that you're staying connected with us virtually. I know that's a challenge. I know it's difficult. I know it's a different day and time, but it's where we are. And so most of the information that we're going to be disseminating to you are going to come via email. They're going to come via text. They're going to be on our social media platforms. And if you're not there, how will you know? Of course, we'll spread the word as fast and as much as we possibly can, but you would do us a great service and be of a tremendous help if you would follow us on all of our platforms and remain connected. We'll continue to inform you as to when we will return and when we will return, and I believe it will not be that long until we do. Hopefully, we'll be able to come back in full-blown worship at some point here soon, prayerfully this year. But before that, we've set up a way for us to come back in some form of worship, having a few hundred of our members to be able to be present live in worship, returning back to praise and worship, bringing back our praise team and all of those wonderful things. But we want to make sure we're doing it safe. We want to make sure we're doing it according to all of the city and state and federal regulations that are required for us to be able to do that. And so we're putting everything in place to make that possible. And when we do, we'll return to worship. And I believe that it is going to be absolutely incredible, that God is going to do exploits among us, that is going to be powerful, that we're going to be stronger. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time when we all come back together. For those of you who registered and were going to be at the May 2nd service, please do not worry. Do not fear. All you'll have to do is re-register. This is not about your space or place or anything like that. But this is simply, you know, a very small blip in trying to get back to worship and trying to get back to return. And if there is any type of confusion about this process, please do not contribute it to our heart, contribute it to our head. We're doing everything that we can possibly do to make sure that you and your loved ones are safe when we do come back to worship. But be on the lookout. So make sure you're following us on all of the social media platforms. Follow us on Facebook at The Kingdom Life Church. Follow me on Instagram at Pastor Michael Phillips, on Facebook at Pastor Michael Phillips, and you'll stay connected. You can also make sure you can stay connected by text. And so what we have been using for our text information platform is my devotional platform, Instant Inspiration. So if you want to sign up for that, you're going to be able to get information about return to the church on that platform. And all you have to do is text Instant Inspiration to 77222, and you'll get all of that information. Now, let's go to the word of the Lord. I'm excited to share with you what God has placed in my heart for you this morning. You don't want to miss it. Let's go to the word of the Lord. I want to take you to Luke, the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And this is an interesting text. It's an interesting place that we find ourselves in the scripture. And the reason that why it's interesting is because this is how Luke is concluding his work. And just a caveat, just free. It has nothing to do with my message this morning, but I find it interesting that the ending of Paul's writing is synonymous with his beginning. In other words, they end up in the same place. And I just believe that what is happening in our lives, what is taking place with all the disruption, with everything that's going on, we're still going to end up in the place that God intends for us to be. I believe that. And so I want you to take that to heart. That's free. That has nothing to do with the message this morning. But I want to take you to Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter. And we're going to pick this up in the latter part. And I want to make sure that I can get this into you and fill your heart and fill your mind with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Luke 24, we want to pick this up all the way down in the 44th verse, Luke 24, verse 44. So wherever you are in your house, your living room, your bedroom, your kitchen, if you're in your car, well, if you're in your car, I hope you're just listening to it. You're not going to be able to take notes. Don't do that. But wherever you are, I want you to write. I want you to get this scripture down in your heart and in your spirit. And of course, as always, as the principles come out to you and the word of God comes out to you, write these things down. Take them to heart. Make sure that you're using them as a template for the testimony of Christ in your life, that you're using them as points to go back to so that you can continue your growth and your development. All right, here we go. Luke 24, verse 44 says this. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And then the Bible says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. For the next few moments that we have together, I want to talk with you from the subject entitled The Growth Imperative. The Growth Imperative. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Without a word, Father, how can we live? And so we ask in this very moment that you would anoint this vessel of clay to speak a word that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, a word that will transform us by the renewing of our minds, touch our heart so it's open to receive that word, anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. And of course, the most important thing in this moment, at this time, during this day, is that God, you accomplish all that you want to do in our lives through this word. This is our moment of rest that you have orchestrated, assigned, reserved for us to be restored and refilled, replenished, refreshed, revived, resurrected, renewed. This is our moment, and we thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This scripture is so fascinating to me. that it took me a long time to be able to carve out the parts of it that I could preach to you. It was so robust. It was so large. It was so much there that I had to whittle down some of the words that I'm about to say. And I don't mean that to say that we don't have the capacity to receive it all. I mean that to say that there's not enough time in this message to give it all. This particular scripture is fascinating to me because we are stepping into what is a post-resurrection moment, but also a pre-ascension time. Jesus has not ascended back to the Father yet, but he is resurrected. And the disciples are now transitioning from being disciples to stepping into the apostolic anointing that the Lord is placing on their life. They're shifting from following to leading. They're moving from a dependency on Jesus as their leader, as their mentor, as their spiritual guide and father. And now they're about to step into something that they have never, quite frankly, experienced before. It is, in their eyes, at this moment, a dark time. It is a time where their doubts are outweighing their faith. As a matter of fact, when we look at this whole scripture, we begin to understand that Jesus begins to show himself to the disciples in this moment, and they are in the upper chamber having this conversation. And we are picking up the conversation at the latter part. It was in this conversation that Jesus tells Thomas to touch my hands and see the wounds, showing Thomas that you can be resurrected and wounded at the same time. that the wounds don't have to go away for you to be able to walk in resurrection power. Yeah. He speaks so many different truths and opens up their minds to be able to understand that this is what God intended all along, because God is intentional. He is unswervingly intentional. Isaiah said it this way, that the Lord declares the end from the beginning. Yeah, he declares the end from the beginning, that his purpose will be accomplished. He will do all that he intends to do. And the part of the problem that we have in our faith walk is that oftentimes our intentionality doesn't match God's intentionality. I'm going somewhere with this thing. Stay with me. God is intentional. And in that intentionality, you and I have to understand that there's a link between God's intent and our destiny, God's intent and where he wants to take us, God's intent and who he is developing us to be. It is really a growth imperative. A growth imperative simply describes, it is a theory in economics that simply describes that when you have dark moments, when you have downturns, it is imperative that you choose to grow. In other words, growth is the only way that you will not experience a recession, that you will not experience a downturn, that you will not experience a shortage, that you will not experience lack, that you will not experience, if you will, a consistency of scarcity. You have to be determined to grow, even when it's tight, when resources are short, if you would expand, if you would enlarge your territory, if you would strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, if you would expand, if you would grow, then you would not have to deal with or have to learn how to live in scarcity. That's all a growth imperative means. And I'm taking it into the realm of faith that we're under in this moment, in this dark time, a growth imperative. And to do that, we have to understand that there's some things that God intends. And that intention is linked to our ultimate destiny. See, God's intent can't really be stopped. He ultimately wanted to fill all things in Christ. Paul said that in Ephesians 4:10. That's what God really wanted to do. That was his intention, and that could not be undone. It could not be changed. But God's intent for us as individuals, God's intent for us, for our families and our churches, God's intent for those things can be frustrated, and it can be hindered, and it can be sabotaged when our intentionality doesn't match his. When our intentionality doesn't fit his. Yeah. What you have to understand then about that part of this little introduction that I'm doing with you is that nobody else, no other person can fulfill God's destiny for your life. It's yours. We know the old saying, what God has for you is for you. But what does that mean? What it means is that your destiny as an individual cannot be downloaded, cannot be retrofitted into anybody's life. But it does require you to match God's intentionality with your intentionality. And in other words, if God has for you what is for you, you have to be willing to be just as intentional as God is about what he has for you, which requires you to have to go through some difficulties, to deal with some dilemmas, to have some setbacks, to have some heartache, to have some things happen to you that would not be your preference, but yet and still, God's intentionality is in play. This is a very important component and a very important process, because just like the disciples, as the text is trying to tell us, didn't really understand God's intent. Even though the Lord told them these things would happen, even though he would say, tear this temple down, in 3 days I'll raise it back up again. Even though he would begin to talk with them about this is a new concept. This blood, this wine represents my blood, and this bread represents my body. And as he begins to talk to them about all these things, they still didn't quite understand. They still didn't quite get it. And so he's bringing them to this place of understanding God's intentionality and the fullness of Christ. He's about to bring them into the full picture. Can I pause for a second and tell somebody who's listening to me, who's watching me, that you're about to come into the full picture? Yeah. See, this year and last year is the unfolding, the unveiling of something. And you are about to come into the full picture of what God has for your life. And to get there, You cannot leave. You can't check your intellect at the door. Your critical thinking is going to be important. It's going to be an important part of your spiritual growth and your development and your journey. Yes, faith is required to walk with God. We walk by faith and not by sight. And yes, faith means believing in things that supersede the intellect at times. Yes, it does, or cannot be proven. That it's beyond the limits of scientific method. And I get all of that, but faith never demands that you check your intellect at the door. Faith never demands that you suspend your critical thinking. I'm going somewhere with this thing. You always have to engage your ability to think critically, but resist the possibility when you do it of putting God and confining him into your small space. Yeah. Yeah, he wants you to think on some stuff, but he wants you to understand, as he said in Isaiah, that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He wants you to get, and he wants you to understand that he wants you to think about where you're headed and what you're doing and how you're going to get there. But don't confine him or limit him just to that. Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. There's a scripture, it's one of my favorites in Proverbs, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And as I thought about that scripture as it relates to this message, I thought to myself, there's a difference between doubting God and doubting my understanding. Come on, I want to go slow here. I don't want you to miss anything. There's a difference between doubting God and doubting my understanding. There's a difference between doubting God and doubting my understanding of God. Just like there's a difference between trusting God and trusting my understanding of him. Yeah. Can I doubt my understanding of God, of who he is, what he's doing, what he's up to, what's his intent, and simultaneously trust God beyond my understanding? Oh, come on, stay with me. Can I doubt my understanding of God? God is doing some stuff, and I don't know what in the world he's doing. He's taking us some places, and I don't know what that destination is. I might have an inkling of it, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to be provided for. I don't have the how. I might have the what. What is knowledge? But I don't have the how. How is wisdom? And I'm trying to figure all that out. But can I doubt my understanding of God while simultaneously trusting God beyond my understanding? Yeah. In order to be able to answer that question, you've got to go through some dark moments, some difficult moments, some dark nights. And when we are stepping into this text, it is as if Jesus is stepping into the dark moment that the disciples are experiencing. Everything they've come to know as normal has been upended. Everything that they have become used to has changed. Everything that they were accustomed to doing with Jesus is gone because they saw him crucified. They saw him bled and die. They saw him whipped. They saw it all. And yet, and still, they are experiencing this resurrected Jesus. And Jesus would show himself 40 times post-resurrection. As the Bible declares, but there's only 8 recorded sightings of him. And the disciples are having a moment that they're having a Jesus sighting right in the middle of their dark nights. Can I tell you that you can have a Jesus sighting right in the middle of your dark moment? That he can show up. And the problem with the resurrected Jesus, the problem with seeing Jesus post-resurrection is that he always shows up in a different form than what you're used to. Because he's stretching and taking them to a different dimension because he has them under a growth imperative. He has his disciples under a growth imperative because they are never going back to what they're used to. Can I tell you right now, I want to talk to somebody who is experiencing a dark moment and a dark night, and you feel like it's never going to be over. If you're not experiencing a dark moment and a dark night, then I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to somebody right now who is experiencing a dark moment and a dark night, and you don't know how you're going to come up out of it, and you don't know how you're going to cope, and you don't know how you're going to be able to move forward. Get ready for a Jesus sighting. Get ready for him to show up and begin to describe to you how you're going to come out and how you're going to go forward and how things are about to change. It's just a moment. That's all it is. And so he is stepping into their dark night because to the Lord, a dark night is a gift to us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on, somebody. A dark night is a gift to us. Yeah. He made 2 great lights, 1 to rule the day and 1 to rule the night. A dark night is a gift to us. It's a gift because a dark night shows you there's another day. Oh, somebody right now just needs to go ahead and take that into your heart and take that into your spirit and say to yourself, oh, there is another day. Uh-huh. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is another day. It might not be good today. It might not be good tonight, but there is another day. You ought to put that right in the comment section. Oh, there is another day. Oh, I'm broke right now, but there is another day. I'm sick right now, but there is another day. And on that day, I'm going to be healed. I'm down right now. I'm depressed right now, but there is another day. There is another day. A dark night is a gift to us. A dark night is intended for your freedom, for your liberation, for you to come out of all of that worry and all of that stress and all of that anxiety. The sun is about to rise. I'm talking to somebody right now. A dark night is a gift to us. It frees us from the ideas we had about God. It frees us from the ideas that we had about him, the fears that we held in our heart, our attachment to the benefits of everything that was promised and everything that we preferred and all the ways we thought it was going to go down. It frees us from the devotion to practices, whether spiritual or mental or whatever they look like, that are of no use to where we are going and where we are heading. Because the worst thing that you can do is show up in a new dimension, in a new place with an old mindset. A dark night frees you from all of those things, your positive and your negative evaluations of yourself, your self-criticism. See, a dark night will bring self-compassion. a dark night will bring you out of all of your tactics of manipulating your way forward, of trying to maneuver and figure out how you're going to get there without trusting God and depending on Him. See, all of that stuff sometimes that we use as our methods are just replacements for God. The disciples are trying to figure out how are they going to replace Jesus? What are we going to do now? Some of them went back. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he took a couple with him. They were in a dark night and in a dark moment. And Jesus brings them all back together again in this space. and he's showing them and releasing them from their substitutes that they had for God. Even though they walked with Jesus, they still had substitutes for him. Everything that was getting in the Lord's way was moved out of the way in 3 days. Everything that was stopping them from stepping into the next dimension was removed in 3 days. That now Jesus can show up resurrected in a different body. A body that the disciples couldn't quite grasp. I don't want to linger there because I can go down that rabbit hole, but they couldn't grasp how he was not a ghost and he was himself, yet he had the wounds, but yet he could disappear in the moment. They couldn't grasp that resurrection equals new creation. That when God brings you out of a period of chaos, out of a period of darkness, he'll always bring you into a reorder or a new creation. Any man that's in Christ is a what? New creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things now become new. So God takes what already existed and he makes it completely and totally new. Behold, I make all things new. Not I make all new things. I'll take what is and I'll show you it can be something completely and totally fresh, completely and totally new. And that's what God is doing in our lives right now. Stop waiting for all of this new stuff to show up. It's already among you. You already have. He's just going to show you how to use it differently. He's just going to do something powerful with what you already have. My God, I feel this thing in here. And so the disciples are in this dark night. They're in this dark moment. We all have them. These dark nights where we judge ourselves so critically. These dark nights where we start coming undone and unglued from the attachments of what God promised, and we slip into doubt. These dark nights where we fall into this deep place of doubt. Doubt is not simply not believing. Doubt is not having clarity. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Doubt is agnostic. It is not atheistic. Oh, stay with me, somebody. And we all have it. These nights of great loss, these moments where our soul suffers from the fear of subtraction, where you think everything in your life is at a loss and things are leaving, and it's this great empty space. That is really an opening for the treasure that God wants to really give. And so we have to understand that it is the dark night that leads us to the doubt. And I'm about to say something to you that's going to rock your faith. I'm going to say something to you that's going to mess you up. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. That Paul Tillich said it this way: doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is an element of faith. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It is an element of faith. You see, somewhere in our journey, the faith we inherited, the faith of your grandmother, your mother and your father, the faith we inherited stops working because we've been operating on that faith we inherited. I believe what they believe. But until you go through a dark night, what brings you to a moment of doubt, you'll never transition and let go of some of the things that you were holding on to that were not relevant at all. You'll never let go of some of the things you held in your heart because they were inherent. You inherited them. You got them from somebody else, but you had no experience with it whatsoever. But when you're going through your own dark moment, when you're going through your own dark night and you're learning how to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're learning how not to fear any evil, and you discover that in the valley that God meets you in the valley, and that he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, because he realizes that you can rest when there is chaos, that you can recover when there's chaos, you can be replenished when there is chaos, and that you are not camping out here to stay, but you are just simply passing through, and you're going to make it out to the other side. When you learn those experiences for yourself, you learn how to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise continually be in your mouth. You learn that yet shall I praise the Lord. You learn, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Come on, who am I talking to? That you've been through some dark moments and you've fallen into moments of doubt, and you'll begin to discover what you really believe and what you really know about God and who God really is. It is in those moments of doubt that take you to the next dimension. And so in the text, what is funny to me is that the Lord gives the disciples permission to doubt. Oh, my Lord. He doesn't condemn them for doubting. Oh, I know. You want to bring up when he says to them, "Oh, ye of little faith." You want to bring up that when Peter stepped out on the water and started walking on the water, and then got his eyes set on the water and started to sink. And Jesus said to him, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" He wasn't condemning Peter for falling. And when we read that, and when we try to articulate that, we condemn Peter for falling. But Jesus wasn't condemning Peter for falling. He was saying, "Why did you let your doubt bring you to the place where you thought I would not catch you? Oh, I knew you was going down, but you ought to know I was going to catch you." That's a word right there. You got to understand that God knows you might start sinking, but then you got to know he going to catch you. He gives them permission to doubt. It's right in the story. It's right in the text. Because they don't understand what he's up to. And they're stuck between the post-resurrection and the ascended Christ. And in the middle of those two is the promise that the Lord gave that they're wrestling with. And they're wrestling with all of these emotions and all of these thoughts, and they're trying to figure out What's next? How are we going to end up? What are we going to be like? What's life like for us from here? Doubt is present in the moment, and the Lord gives them permission to do it. I know that messes up your theology. I know that strains you, but it's right there in the story. He gives them permission to doubt, because to God, doubt is not a process that deteriorates. It is a growth process. Oh, Lord have mercy. Doubt is a growth process that provides you with an opportunity to mature intellectually, to mature spiritually, to mature relationally, to mature morally. Doubt is a growth process that when you can let doubt into the concept and understanding of why you're there, because you stop believing, and as you stop believing, you start trying to figure out, are my concepts about God real? Were they true? Was I lying to myself? Was I fooling myself? And you start asking the questions, and you start searching at a deeper level. And the disciples are at this place. They're at this place, and they are in the upper room because they are afraid of what's going to happen next. And right in the middle of their dark moment, Jesus steps in, and he doesn't condemn them for being doubtful, but he uses their doubt to transition them to the next dimension. You ought to put right there in the comment, I'm going to the next dimension. Dimension simply means a degree of freedom. It's where God and you can move more freely. It's where you're not stunned, shocked, or stuck when you experience a difficulty or a dark moment or a dilemma that you can't figure out, because you know without a shadow of a doubt, in the end, the Lord's going to catch me. You know, because you have this experience with him that no person can take away. They can have a better argument than you, but they don't have your experience. And if you don't have my experience, then you are at the mercy of my experience, because I know that I know that I know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I know that I know that I know that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. I know that I know that I know, my God, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know the Lord has got me, and he'll catch me, and he'll keep me from falling, and he'll present me faultless. I know. And so the disciples are in this place, and Jesus begins to speak to them the words that he used to speak while he was still with them. And he began to tell them that I have to fulfill all things, that the law, that the prophets, that the Psalms talked about concerning me. He's telling the disciples, you're stepping into the full picture of what God intended. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you're about to step into the full picture of what God intended. You've been getting it in pieces. My God, I feel this thing in my spirit. You've been getting it in pieces, but God is about to start filling in the whole puzzle, and you are about to see the whole picture, and you're about to see the blessing that God has in store for your life, the dimension that he's about to take you to, because you cannot get there without what he promised you. And while you're stuck between trying to figure out, my God, who he is and what he's doing and where he's going and what he's saying, he's showing up right in the midst of your situation, right in the midst of your darkness, right in the midst of your dilemma. And he's saying to you, get ready for the full picture. Get ready for the full picture. Get ready for the full picture. I feel this thing in my spirit. Get ready for the full picture. And you've been operating off of the pieces of the puzzle. You've been operating just off of the pieces. You've been walking by faith and not by sight. And you want to see some stuff, and you want to know some stuff, and you want some certainty. And you had to deal with all of the uncertainty, but you kept walking anyway, and you kept believing anyway. You were scared and you had doubt. And then the Lord showed up and didn't even condemn your doubt and gave you permission to do it and said, it's okay. I'm going to use that doubt to take you to the next dimension. I'm going to use all of your questions and all of your concerns and everything you're trying to understand to bring you into a deeper experience with me, so that you can grow and so that you can expand and so that you can develop and so that you can step into the fullness of what I have for your life. And this is where the disciples are. And so he opens up the scriptures and he opens up their understanding so that they could understand the scriptures. It had to be frustrating to hear Jesus talk, to be that close and not have a full understanding. But now they're under a growth imperative. No more parables. No more little stories. You're coming into the fullness. There is no more time. The time is now. But before you step in, I have to release something into your life. And so he takes them from the upper room all the way out to Bethany. Ugh. If I had time to talk about Bethany. Bethany was Jesus's spot. It is the place of Lazarus. It's where he would go to be refreshed. It's where he would go to pray. It is the place, my God, where he would ultimately show everybody what he intended to do. Bethany. It's where Lazarus lived. It's where he would get away to. It's beyond Jordan. My God, I feel this thing. He takes them out to Bethany, and he takes them out of their hiding place. He takes them out of their fearful place. He takes them out of the place where they don't know what's going to come next. He says, come with me to Bethany. Can you hear the Lord beckoning you, calling you to come out of your small space? Come out of that place of worry. Come out of that place of doubt. Come out of it now, because there's about to be a deluge, an outpouring of power and of his promise in your life. And he brings them to Bethany. And the Bible says it is there that he lifts up his hands and he breathes upon them. He blesses them. And they become new creations in this moment. This is the born again experience that the disciples are experiencing for the first time. And he lifts his hands and blesses them and says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But you're going to have to go back into Jerusalem. You're going to have to go back into where I just found you. and it is going to be there, oh, hallelujah, that I empower you. And so the scripture says, oh God, stay with me, that they step out of this moment of doubt and into this moment of blessing that leads them into this moment of praise. And they go into the temple praising and blessing God. They go into the temple praising and blessing God. But the promise that they are about to receive is not going to show up in the temple. Oh God, I feel it. I hope somebody is getting this right now. They go into the temple praising and worshiping God. But the promise they're about to receive, the next dimension, doesn't come in the temple. It comes in the place where they were just doubting. God delivers the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit, in the place where they were just doubting. This message is for somebody who's been doubting. This message is for somebody who's been in a dark place. This message is for somebody who's been in a difficult spot. And I came to tell you that God is going to take you from your dark place, your doubting moment, and your difficult spot to the next dimension. Oh, I know you think there's going to be a little bit of progression, but I came to tell somebody there's going to be a great divine leap. There's not going to be a little bit of progression. You're about to step into the full picture. And before you know it, you're going to be endued with power from on high and launched into your next assignment, launched into your next dimension, launched into your purpose, launched into what God has for your life. That's what God is doing. He has you under a growth imperative. And he's saying to you, there is no turning back. Get ready to grow. Get ready to be enlarged. Get ready to expand. And I know you're saying to yourself, but I'm in such a doubtful place. And the Lord is saying, I can work with that. Because my promise still works in a doubtful place. My God. My promise still works in a doubtful place. Did you hear what I just said? The disciples were in a doubtful place. And the Lord said, my promise still works. But I'm going to pull you out of here and take you to the next dimension. And then he put them back in the same place, commanded them to go back to Jerusalem, knowing that they would return to the upper room. And that's where power fell. That's where they were launched into the Doma gifts. Fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's what they will endue with power from on high. God is taking you from a dark night to a doubtful place to the next dimension. I pray that this message touched your heart. I pray it revolutionized your thinking. I pray that you can see that God's promise still works in a doubtful place. Lift up your head. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. There is no shame in having worries and concerns and trepidation, reservations. It's no shame. It's called being human. And the Lord says to us, my promise still works. It is yes and amen. But let me use that doubt to take you to the next dimension. Let me use that doubt to grow you. Let me use that doubt to develop you. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is an element of it. It is a stage in your faith. And God is saying, I'm taking you now to the next dimension of your faith. We go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And God is expanding you, maturing you, building you. That's what this season is all about. So be encouraged and know that God's promise still works, even in a doubtful place. I tell you, man, I can continue to preach this word. It has blessed my socks off, and I pray it has done the same for you. I want you to grow, and I want you to develop. And there's no better way to grow than to put seed in the ground. In this very moment, on this word, I want you to consider sowing a seed that not only impacts this ministry, because that's what your financial giving does, but it also impacts your life. Bible says when we give, that is given back to us in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men shall find us and get back to our pocket. That as we advance the kingdom, God advance our lives. And if you want to harvest, you got to sow. And I believe that we are coming into harvest time. We're coming into harvest season. I believe the spirit of almost is being broken over your life. I believe you're stepping into the full picture and that you will no longer have to live with just the pieces, but you can see it all. And you can stand back and see the vision, and you can stand back and write it down and run with it and get going and get accomplished all the things that God put in your heart to do. I want you to put a seed on that. If you're in a dark moment, I want you to put a seed on that. If you're in a doubtful place, I want you to put a seed on that. If you're going to the next dimension, I want you to put a seed on that. And as you already know, we're virtual. And so you can text to give that seed. All you can do is simply text give KLC to 73256. Give KLC to 73256. You can give on that platform, or you can give on the church's app. You can download it in Google and iTunes. You can give there as well. Or you can go to our website, www.thekingdomlife.com, and click the giving icon, and you can give on that platform. And of course, you can always mail it into the ministry. However you do it as unto the Lord. But put a seed on this word that you are under a growth imperative, and everything in your life is about to expand. And yes, it can expand from a doubtful place. It can expand from a dark moment. You're under a growth imperative. There is no shrinking. There is no scarcity. There is no going back. You will not live in lack. You will not struggle. God, I feel this thing and I got to wrap up. But you will not struggle. You will not struggle. That season is coming to an end. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to believe the Lord for provision. We'll always be in a place of faith. We'll always be in a place of operating by faith. But you're not going to struggle. It's daily bread. Come on. And he'll provide it daily if he has to. You ain't going to struggle. You're not going to struggle. Give on all of those platforms, however you want to do it as unto the Lord, and we know that you're going to be blessed. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield, and may his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now until forever, now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. And I'll see you next week.